even though he had an adventure with God and a really an amazing life, at the end of the day, he died. And I suddenly realized something about myself that is no longer true of Abraham. In terms of this earthly life, I'm still alive. I'm living at a time when Abraham wasn't living. And as I read all the genealogies in the Old Testament, Isaac came, he lived, and he died. Jacob came, he lived, and he died. And even if we look at the amazing apostles in the New Testament, they are no longer here. Now Hebrews 11, I think it is, or Hebrews 12, Hebrews 12, talks about the grandstand, and all who went before us are cheering on the saints of today. And I think that's a beautiful picture. Can you imagine Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Enoch, and the apostles? They're all living in glory, watching what's happening on earth, and they're cheering us on for a time such as this. It is no small thing to be alive. I remember a colleague of mine who is not a Christian, and we were starting a shift together, and I think he knows my inclination. He knows I'm a bit religious and stuff. And I think he said this to impress me, but he just said to me this morning, "Isn't it great to be alive?" And I was impacted by that. It is great to be alive. It's great to have breath. It's great to have energy. It's great to have time. And the scripture talks about making the most of the opportunities as well. Making the most of the doors that are opening. And why not use January as an opportunity to refocus our spiritual lives on the church life? If I was asked to share what is the goal or vision of the church in 2018, all I would have to say really, I could have a 2-second message. All I would have to say, our goal, our vision, our purpose is this: love God, love one another, love the lost, love our enemies, fulfill the love command, go make disciples of all people groups, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, and I could sit down. The great commandment is love. The great commission is let's go and make disciples. And the scripture says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you would prophesy, because we need power and strength and gifting to carry out the things God has for us. Did you know it is impossible to love the way God loves except by the power of a changed life and the Holy Spirit? Do you know that we actually need the strength of God to cope with the love of God? Do you know that the love of God is so wide and strong and deep, we actually need strength from the Holy Spirit to understand it, to comprehend it. How can you comprehend the incomprehensible? How can you talk about the inexpressible joy? How can you talk about peace that's better than understanding? Everything about God is radical and extreme. His love is extreme. His power is extreme. His energy is extreme. And if we're in contact with such a God, it should have an impact on our lives. As Stephen said, we should not aim for average or mediocrity. All God's blessings are brilliant. He forgives not some of our sins, all of our sins. And so part of the vision for this year is to have a bigger picture of God and a bigger vision that everything God says is true, and I want that to impact my life. So I could sit down at that point, but I have to tease out a few things. And I'm going to mention under, it sounds like a long talk, it's not, under five headings, five areas where we want to see progress in the coming year. And as I mentioned a few things in passing, not in detail, if any of these things sort of grab you a little bit and you think, oh, I have to have a conversation with Stephen about that, that's a seed thought, or that's a topic for prayer or conversation. If there's something catches your eye on this brief tour of these five areas, bear it in mind and talk to one of us about it afterwards. And the first main theme thrust is, I want us as a people, I want me as a person to be a better worshipper of a God who's worthy of worship. Now, the book of Psalms we've chosen for the first 3 months of this year to kind of be a little bit of a guide as to what we'll read and preach from. And we hope to hook in a lot of the preaching into the book of Psalms. And it'd be really exciting to think we're all reading Psalms together as a congregation. If you read a psalm a day, it not only keeps the doctor away, but you'll complete the whole book in a year or so. If you read 3 psalms a day, you'll complete it by Easter. There is a proverb, it's not a Bible proverb, I've quoted this before, and there is a proverb that the Jewish people have, and it goes like this: sometimes God will do a miracle, but often you'll need the Psalms. I love that. Sometimes God will do a miracle. We believe that God still heals today and does miracles today. Absolutely. But sometimes there seems to be a delay. Sometimes there seems to be times God doesn't answer prayer. Not everything is black and white. Have you discovered that? And so sometimes you need the Psalms, which are honest to God cries and prayers to God, saying, God, I need you. God, I'm discouraged. God, I'm frustrated. I'm under spiritual attack. And in the Psalms, there's always a but. God turns up. There's a promise to lay hold of. There's a command to obey. God turns the situation around. And even if he doesn't, I will still praise him. That's worship, brothers and sisters. Have you ever thought, I'd love to read somebody's personal diary? I'd love to read Vera's personal journal. I'd love to read Leo's secret prayer book that he records all his prayers. Brothers and sisters, the book of Psalms contains the journals of godly people just like us who lived and suffered and fought and battled and were scared and afraid. And they were praisers, they were thankers, they were worshippers. And we have an insight into what went on in their relationship with God. It's a fantastic book. Read it with all your heart. Pray the Psalms. Families, once a week, read a psalm together. Ask God to speak. During our body ministry time, maybe God will reveal things from the book of Psalms to share to the whole church. So the first goal under worship is we want an attitude, a disposition of worship to increase. I ask myself a question. What if my relationship with God was real, was really real? It wasn't make-believe. That I really believed God loved me. That I really believed God was with me. That I really believed God heard my prayer. That I really believed he knows everything about me. If I really believed that, my life would be revolutionized. Yes. We need to believe what we believe. We are so privileged to be alive. We're so privileged to know the living God. Let an attitude and a disposition of worship increase in 2018. I want to be more thankful, not less thankful. I want to praise more, not less. I want my attitude to be right more often. I want to forgive quicker than in 2017 because my God is real and he's alive and he's active. That's the first thing under worship. The second thing under worship, and I want to just say a big thank you, and not to embarrass Andrew Brown. Just thank you, Andrew, for leading the praise and worship team the way you do. And for all those that are involved in the praise and worship. Michelle's not here today. I was going to specifically mention Michelle because she is the longest serving singer in the worship team. She goes back to the 1850s when I was leading worship. What a faithful servant. And one of the things we're doing and will continue to do in 2018, and this is why I respect you, Andrew, is that we have started to see and involve other people leading worship, a diversity of worship leaders. So grateful for Andrew and Kirsty, for Laura, and for Jason contributing to that. Please pray for them. Please back what they're doing. We want to see that continue. Amen. I find it easier to preach than lead a meeting. I find it easier to lead a meeting than to lead worship. And I find it easier to lead worship than lead a prayer meeting. So when people lead prayer meetings, God bless them. When people lead worship, God bless them. And does the devil hate worship? Yes. He wants us to worship him. And there is, listen, not only do we have to ask the question, if God is real, what difference does it make? If spiritual warfare is real, what difference should it make? Why am I surprised? I had to lead the prayer meeting Wednesday night, and Heather and I never argue. Well, maybe once or twice. And on the way to the prayer meeting, we argued like we've never argued in about 10 years. Just coincidence? Stop kissing your brain goodbye, Stephen. Wake up. When you decide to do the right thing and there's opposition, praise him anyway. Read the Psalms. Do the Psalms. That's being worshippers. And that's the other thing under worship. We want to see an increase in corporate prayer this year. And part of the way we're going to do that, we're going to ask some teams of people to help with the prayer meeting. Not to devalue the prayer that's already happening. Not to devalue the prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. But just to say, this is important. We'd like to see more people coming. And we've even changed the time, which we think might help. Every other Wednesday, 7:30, and we hope to have people coming to that prayer meeting having prepared to lead us in creative ways. You know, prayer should be the most exciting thing in our lives if we actually believe the great promises that prayer that go with prayer. Do you know that the biggest promises in the Bible are related to prayer? Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. See that mountain? Speak to it. Nothing will be impossible to you, those who believe. Pray, believing and receiving. And so anything that can help us pray in twos and threes and as families and individuals and as a church is good. And thank God that we do have some structures in place for prayer. And thank you that we're also praying for this unreached people group in Libya, and there's at least 12 people involved with that. That's worship. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's be better worshippers in 2018. Number two, under the next heading is what I love this. Now, this keeps me talking to 3 a.m, so I'll try not to speak to 3 a.m. But it's about equipping and making disciples. Matthew 28:18, go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. And that's, I want to say something in terms of what we hope to do in the area of equipping and making disciples. After the Psalms are read and reflected on and preached, through God willing, from April through to the next 3 months, that will take us up to May, June, we're going to look at Mark's Gospel. And this is relevant to being a disciple and being equipped. Brothers and sisters, comrades and friends, Mark's gospel is such an action-packed gospel. Get ready for it. It's full of Jesus immediately does this. Jesus immediately does this. They got up and moved. It's an action-packed gospel. And we're going to use the gospel of Mark to help encourage us to be Christ followers, to live like Jesus, minister like Jesus, believe like Jesus, and be modern day disciples. And so the goal is that that we would have an attitude that we want to mature as followers of Jesus. An attitude that we want to mature and grow. This might shock you a little bit. I'm going to say it like this to make a strong, positive point. God is not interested in changing people. Superficially. He's not interested in behavior modification. God is interested in transforming people. What's the difference? Without the Holy Spirit, you can change a little bit. But to be transformed, you need the Word of God, you need the Holy Spirit, you need a work of God. And the purpose of Jesus said, Paul wrote like this, we're going to be changed from one degree of glory to another as we behold him, to be transformed into his likeness, to be like Jesus. And that's why, you know, and where are you, where do you walk out that kind of discipling? Where do you walk out that transformation? Can I tell you 2 very ordinary areas of our lives where you will walk that out more than any other area? One area is in the area of relationships. I say to people getting married, marriage is a crash course in learning how to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Relationships are where you walk out discipleship. where all those brilliant teachings, forgive one another, it happens in relationships. Love one another, relationships, be kind to one another, relationships. And that requires a mature attitude. You know, I've decided in 2018 it's going to be difficult to offend me. Go on, try it. Because he bore all my offenses and sins. The reason I find it hard to love God is I don't realize how much he loved me. The reason I get easily offended is I've forgotten what offenses I've committed that he's forgiven. The reason I find it hard to forgive, I haven't seen the glory of his mercy and forgiveness to me. When you get that mature attitude, it has a spin-off effect in every area of your life. Let's be disciples who are going to maturity. Let's be transformed from one degree of glory to another. And the second area where it's worked out is in work. Work, everyday work. Now, whether that's you work at home, maybe you're retired and you work in different ways, but in the area of our everyday walking about working life, that's where we have to outwork these incredible things. And so under making disciples equipping, it's the attitude of moving towards maturity. Secondly, we hope to complete year two of the equipping training course we're doing and impact and maybe include more people. And number three, we'd like to have two baptismal services this year, God willing, March 18th and November 18th, 2018. If you haven't been baptized and you need to be, want to be, seed thought, have a conversation about it. The Great Commission says, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, baptism. Under the next heading is fellowship, being the family of God. And after the Gospel of Mark, God willing, the book we want to look at to help us, especially in the area of being church as God intended it, is the book of Ephesians. And so around about July, August, September, we'll be in the book of Ephesians. Here's the thing about the book of Ephesians. Have you ever heard the phrase, beauty is in the eye of the beholder? Now, to me, all babies look the same when they're first born. But you see to the parents? I'll tell you a worse one than that, see to the grandparents. All brides look the same to me. They're all coloured in white. What's the difference? A white dress. Put a white dress in Ken. To me, just... But do you see to the groom? Do you see to the groom or the father of the bride? That's the most beautiful woman in the world. In the name of God, according to the book of Ephesians, when God looks at the church, he doesn't see an old hag. He sees a glorified church. It's an incredible motivating book to aim high, to be the church of the living God, to not have wrinkles and spots and warts. And it's a wonderful book. I can't wait to get to the book of Ephesians. I'm so excited here. I almost feel, Lord, how can we not have three services a day so we can get to the book of Ephesians? But fellowship and being the church are important. And we want to see, practically speaking, we'd love to see more new people coming, being integrated into the church life, more small group dynamics. And I just wrote down two things here. Two kind of exhortive visionary things. What about an epidemic of hospitality? Wouldn't that be brilliant? And I wrote down a big ask. You know what a big ask is? There comes a time in a business, there comes a time in a football team, there comes a time in life where sometimes you have to do a big ask and they may say no. And you have to accept that. But if they say yes, there's a future for our team, there's a future for our business, there's a future for our relationship. And here's a big ask. Kingsway Church, let's be inclusive in our relationships. Think outside the box. Remember single people. Remember married people. Remember people who don't have children. Remember people who do have children. Remember people who are widowed. Remember people who have special needs. Remember people whose English is not their first language. Remember people who only come to the church once and maybe we'll never see them again. An inclusive fellowship. Let's avoid the very appearance of clickiness. Let's avoid the very appearance of evil, the Bible says. Why not in this area? So fellowship. Number four. Outreach. Outreach. The last 3 months of 2018, my proposal is that to encourage outreach, we're going to use another Bible book, and it's the book of Acts. Now, you thought Ephesians is going to be exciting, but the book of Acts. And I introduced the book of Acts by saying this. Turn to Acts 29, and everybody gets their Bible and turns. There is no Acts 29. It finishes at Acts 28. And when you read Acts 28, it's like the story doesn't finish properly. It's, yes, the canon of Scripture is complete. Let's clarify that, okay? But the work of the Acts of the Holy Spirit in propagating the gospel to the ends of the earth is still in progress. Every creature hasn't heard the gospel yet. Every individual in Dunmurry hasn't heard the gospel yet. So we can be part of a move of God that started in Acts 1 and that will continue until Jesus comes back. And that's the general thing we want to encourage under the theme of outreach in 2018, is to encourage and empower initiatives that are birthed out of people's hearts. I think that's very important. People have come to me and they've said things like, I have a real heart for, the new houses in Seymour Hill. Let's encourage that. Somebody says, I have a real heart for prison work. Let's encourage that. I have a real heart. Somebody even approached me about wrapping doors. I said, where did that come from? Is it possible the Holy Spirit can stir up in people's hearts ideas and initiatives? And it's our goal as a church to encourage that and empower those things. And I just want to say that. Let's continue to do that. We hope to target the new houses in Seymour Hill with a welcome pack before the end of January. We hope to explore house-to-house visitation and prayer for the immediate and wider Dunmurry area. Just a seed thought. There are some guys already doing that and thinking about that. Is this something the Holy Spirit's doing? I ask myself another question. Now, fasten your seatbelt, because if you want, you can ask yourself this question. But this is tough. We could ask this of the church as a whole. Here's the question. Lord, I know you're sovereign. And apart from the Holy Spirit, we can't help save, heal anybody. But what's my responsibility for the people in my immediate life, family, neighborhood, and situation where I work and have my being? What is my responsibility? That's a scary question. I don't think in terms of my humanity I could handle the burden of feeling I have a responsibility for people in my time, space, world. But I believe God is looking for people who will have that response to His Spirit. Together, Lord, let's take responsibility for people in our network, our oikos, our neighborhood, our friends, our family, and workplaces. Lord, would you cause an explosion of care and compassion? Are the lost really lost? is there a real heaven to gain and a real hell to shun? Is God in the process of transforming men, women, and children? Is the devil trying to destroy lives? If the answer to all those questions is yes, 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 what's my responsibility, Lord? You don't have to ask yourself that question. But I think the answer's in the question. There is something more in terms of caring and catching something of God's heart, God's burden. So that's a seed thought to pray about, a seed thought to have a conversation about. If God's stirring something in your heart, love to hear from you. We're going to continue. We have some outreaches in Lisburn and Shankill. And we have some connection with local churches as well. We have some things, as you've heard already, about the prison. And we want to continue those things. And in terms of international connections and overseas, there's a few things this year I'll just mention very quickly. Seed thoughts for prayer or for conversation. We have a partnership with the River of Life Evangelical Church in Malawi, who work in Malawi and Mozambique. God willing, visa willing, three of that church will visit us here in Belfast in June. And we hope to continue to sponsor for one more year five workers and their families. And we probably will mention more about that, because there's a couple of fundraising events, one every 6 months planned for that. We'll continue to take an interest in Macedonia and Myanmar, Mongolia, all the M's. Robert Harris, their life and ministry. We're exploring a seed thought about Sri Lanka, because we have an Asian fellowship who have many connections and family members and a real heart for that part of the world that's also coming out of conflict. Not dissimilar to our own, but probably in terms of the number of people involved, a lot more people. And so we want to continue to have an outward-looking mentality to all of these kind of things. And there are others I could mention. And I thank God for the trustees who manage our very complicated financial structure and help to make sure we don't neglect these areas. And in a few minutes' time, Ken will just say something about that, I think. Just the last thing under outreach I want to say is the church here has what I would call functional structures that I would just love the attitude that these could become opportunities to reach out to other people, that they don't just become centered on ourselves. We have the open door. We have in process, we're exploring a counselling co-op. We have our tea and tots on a Monday. And already, people have come from outside the church and really valued that, enjoyed it. We've had this wellness clinic. I'm not sure if and when that will start again, but if it does, the attitude that these things are not just for us, but they're for others, will do something that God will bless. You know, I think the enemy's a dirty fighter, and he loves us to turn inward. He loves us to become centered on ourselves. He loves us to be narrow. And it's funny how life gets so busy. You know, my wife's retired now, and she seems busier than... And you're the same, Kev. Where did you find time to work before you retired? Time is precious. So let's make the most of the time. Let's be creative in how we use functional structures and opportunities. I came across something which I find very helpful, because it put into words something I felt for a long time, something I've been doing. And the caption of this video was, how to make disciples or do outreach without changing your schedule. I thought, wow, that's brilliant. Is it possible? We can make disciples, do outreach, be outward looking without changing our routine. I had to watch this. And there was some real wisdom in this, and it was this. Here's the thing. Three times a day, 7 days a week, we all do something. We eat. If one of those meals was inclusive and we invited someone or a family, we're making disciples. We're outreaching. We're touching lives. Hospitality is a major key to making disciples. It's a major key to breaking down barriers. It's a major way of encouraging people. In fact, when you practice hospitality, you might actually be entertaining angels and you don't even realize it. Another regular routine is we all celebrate things like Christmas, Easter, and birthdays. Why not be inclusive? Do you know there are people who never get birthday presents? There are people who never get Christmas presents. And we have these celebrations as part of our normal routine. And just to begin to think other people inclusive. And here's one I really like. Stephen, you play football 3 or 4 times a week. Without changing that, why not invite not yet believers to play football with you? And I've done that. And you know what? We become friends. On the way home from the football, they ask me, what do you do for a living? And I have to tell them. And I've had so many opportunities to witness the guys and share Christ with guys without changing my routine. Without an additional meeting. We need to think out of the box. We need to think, Holy Spirit, show me what I'm in my routine. How can I make disciples? How can I reach out to others? Isn't that brilliant? And finally, I'm going to let you just mention a couple of matters. If you can. And then I can conclude.
Yeah. Sounds like an exciting church to me. I think I might join.
Yeah. Would you like this?
Yeah, because I can't shout. Yeah, it does sound an exciting church, and all of that takes resources, and just so you know, in the last financial year, the church's total income was £110,000. I'm surprised that you're sitting there looking at me like a tree full of owls. I mean, look at us, £110,000 in a financial year. Of that, £45,000 went into the mission field to support those works that Steph was sharing with us. £36,000 went to pay for the building, the running costs, the salaries, and to support the various activities that we've heard about, the Sunday school, the youth work. They have to have budgets, they do. That took £36,000, and we had a surplus of about £30,000. All I wanted to say this morning was this, that of the £111,000 that came in the last financial year, £61,000 of that was gift aided. Now, the gift aid program, as you know, the government gives you back the tax money. We were able to use that tax money to pay off the loan. And our policy is that in future, money that comes back from gift aid will go for the building. Because we don't want gifts and offerings being used up in bricks and mortar here. We want to sow into the kingdom of God. The gift aid money paid for the repainting of the church in the summer. This year, the gift aid money will pay for an update on the overhead system, and you'll be glad to know it's also going to pay for some decent chairs that don't fall apart. Oh, I can see I'm touching bottom now. But that is so that the bulk of what comes in, apart from the salaries, and we only have two salaried workers, they're both, Steph is half-time, and we also pay Tracy a little bit for doing all the very vital paperwork that she does. But apart from that and the running costs, we want to plough more and more into the mission field and into the work of spreading the gospel and sharing the gospel, whether that be locally in Seymour Hill, or whether it be in any country that you can think of, beginning with M. But £50,000 came in last year that wasn't gift aided. And all I want to say is this, if you are a basic rate taxpayer, and I know everybody isn't, but if you pay tax and you fill in a gift aid form, and you've only got to provide two bits of information now, Tracy's got the forms, very simple, then the church will get back an added, whatever it is, 20% on everything that you give. And if you're a higher rate taxpayer, and remember what Steve said, let's aspire for the best. I'm not joking, I think Christians have a duty to bring as much money into their pockets out of the world so that you can sow it into the kingdom. So don't be ashamed of reaching out, not illegally, just when you go and rob a bank. But, you know, I mean, God promises to prosper us, not so we can buy a new Cadillac. Can I say, I just have real problems with the whole prosperity gospel thing, because that's teaching you to give so that you get. But God wants to bless us so that we can bless and that we can give. And all I can say is that you'll never, ever outgive God. Never. So, if you're a higher rate taxpayer, actually you do benefit, because you get back the difference between the basic and the higher rate of tax. So you win both ways. The church gets the revenue, and you actually get more in your pocket as well. But if you haven't filled in a gift aid form and you are a tax rate payer, think about that. There's a seed thought for you, because that will enable the church to keep the fabric nice, but it won't do that at the cost of the mission field, because that's where we want to see most of our resources go, into the kingdom and serving God in that way. So there's a seed thought for you as well.
Yeah. That's
good. Yeah, I mean, we're going to finish up 12:30. It's great. There was a lot to take in there without the PowerPoint, so if any of those safe thoughts you thought to yourself, oh, I must ask more about that, have a conversation about that, or including what Ken said, do that. And some of these things will flash up in future weeks. And remember the Book of Psalms. And we'll kickstart that next week. Hey, Andrew. And I finish with a story. Some of you have heard this story. He's a very well-known evangelist called J. John. And forgive me if you already know this story. But J. John was travelling, and he is actually a vicar of the Church of England. The word vicar conjures up all kinds of imaginations. I think he may even be a bishop, I could be wrong. And as you do, you're on a plane, and this lady says, where are you going? And he says, I'm going to such and such a place. And where are you going? And she says, to such and such a place. And then he asks her, what do you do for a living? And she says, I work in business. And then she asked the inevitable question, what can you do? And as he tells this story really, really well, but rather than say he's a vicar or a minister or a pastor, whatever, rather than say he's a bishop, he answered the question like this: actually, I work for a global, worldwide enterprise that is involved in every nation on the face of the earth. It's a, really, she says? Yes. What on earth do you do? We diversify in many things. We help people from birth to death and everything in between. We're involved with marriage. We're involved with hospices, hospitals, humanitarian aid. We're involved in behavior modification, reconciliation, and we deal with people in every strata of society, from the homeless to government leaders. What on earth is it? It's the church. It's the church. Brothers and sisters, we're involved with something that's part of something that is incredible in God's sight. And I just use that as a final thought or seed, just to, you know, Lord, would you give us a higher vision? Would you know the personal aspirations of everyone in this room? You know about the New Year's resolutions, the ones that have even been broken, not are yet to be broken. You know about the longings and the dreams and the visions. You know, Lord, the things that motivate us and the people that we care about. We ask for an impartation of your Holy Spirit that 2018 could be significantly more fruitful than 2017 in every sense of the word. Your kingdom come, your will be done on this part of the earth as it is in heaven. Deliver us from the evil one who would want to hinder, oppress, and destroy. Lead us not this year into unnecessary trials and tribulations that can be avoided. Let your kingdom be established, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.